Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us today, we have Robin Clark-Lent from Texas. Robin's been through the mill, and she has just ended, a four-year, five-year, six-year nightmare?
I'm not sure how long it lasted when it started, but it's over.
It's an eternity.
Yes, it's been at least 4 years.
It feels like an eternity, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a journey to hell and back.
A journey to hell and back. Well, you know what? We have a song that we always end the show with, and it's called A One-Way Ticket to Hell. So you've been there, but you actually came back. It wasn't one way.
No, it wasn't. Or at least not yet, anyway.
Not yet. So you came back.
I'm still here.
Yeah, good for you. Well, tell us what happened, Robin.
Well, I believe that it happened when I volunteered to do something for my neighborhood. And my neighbor was president of our homeowners association, and we had a lot down the street that had flooded, and the house had been taken out by FEMA.
Oh.
And it was holding water. It was just not draining well at all. And he asked me if there was anything I could plant over on this lot that would help with the drainage. And I loved a garden, and I was ecstatic to be able to do something for my community that would, you know, interest especially children. And so I took on this project, and that was in 2004. And that's when it started. He had come to me and asked me to do this, and then I received a complaint about my yard, and wagons and tall gingers and other things that they didn't like.
What are wagons and tall gingers? Oh, the wagons. You had some wagons?
I had a decorative wagon, and then I had a wagon that I used to move plants around.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was doing the lot down the street, I would take plants in the wagon down the street. Instead of having to carry them, I would put them in my little red wagon. And I was in the process of collecting plants for this lot and to also redo my yard into a more drought-tolerant, just something different. And so I had acquired a lot of plants from different nurseries that donated plants, you know, for this lot. It was going to be a natural habitat for butterflies and birds. And I had accumulated quite a bit of plants to put there on this lot. And that's when apparently there was some complaints about the plants in my driveway, which were going to the lot. And when the complaint, you know, happened, when they said I had to, you know, remove all the pots and everything, and this is when things just got kind of heated. This was in 05, and they wanted me to do everything and do it now. And I just, you know, it started to be more than I could deal with, so I decided I wouldn't do the lot anymore. And it also had to do with insurance that I had to take out on the lot. And so I did everything they asked me to do. I cleaned out the flower beds and opened up the walkway and used materials like rocks to define the flower beds and pruned and, you know, regular yard maintenance that I do all the time. And their attorney came out on August 2nd along with the president of the board who lived next door. And the president of the board kept saying, there are no pots in my front yard. Everything was moved to the back or discarded, and
were these pots with plants in them, or were these pots?
They were pots that I was going to eat, plants that I was going to use on this vacant lot.
Oh, so this is the stuff that, the Okay, so these were the plants. These were actual plants, mm-hmm. not just empty plots.
Right. Right. Okay. These are plants that I was going to plant on the vacant lot. Now, people knew that. And, I mean, it was you know, an ordeal with the lot because there was a certain person that wanted it done and wanted it done now. And didn't want, you know, it was sort of an ongoing thing. When people donated plants, I would get them planted. I would have my yard man work in my yard 1 week, and the next week we'd work over on the lot. And in between, I would do what I could do. But the heavy stuff, you know, they would help me do. And I was mowing the lot and picking up the garbage on the lot and getting rid of the snakes on the lot. And
sounds like you were doing a lot there. Lot on the lot.
I was doing a lot on the lot, but apparently the person that's in charge of grounds didn't want me doing the lot, and she did everything she could to get in my way. And
was there a reason for this? Did she want to do the lot, or did she have different ideas?
She's in charge of it now. So
how does it look?
It looks bare. I mean, they bulldozed every plant, every tree I planted, including in nationally endangered species of tree that I got from a grower, and yes, it was just traumatic, and they had a meeting that night on August 2nd, where my neighbor resigned from the board because they were just intent on suing me. And that's when I first learned that they had a problem with a business that I had, a small internet business. And apparently they learned about this internet business back in April from the person that didn't want me to do the lot. And but they never brought it to my attention. They never said I was doing anything wrong. And I asked the president of the board if I was doing anything wrong. I asked him if I could take out some of the, you know, the grass in my part of my front yard because it wouldn't grow because it was too shady, and we had flooding issues. I had FEMA lot down the street, so they had to take out a house, and my yard floods when it rains, which was causing landscaping problems. But anyway, we had this meeting at my yard, and nobody would specifically say what I was in violation of. I had done all the things that they wanted me to do, with the exception of a 10-foot strip of grass. And we went to the board meeting that night where the president resigned, and the attorney apparently told the board that you can't sue her over her yard unless you can tie it to a business. And that's when the business thing came in.
So the business thing is that it probably says something to the effect in your governing documents that the lots are to be used for residential purposes only.
Right.
And so they take that, and if you're on the computer, then it becomes a business. And you didn't have trucks and vans and delivery things showing up. But, so you're just on the Internet.
I was on the Internet. It wasn't, people didn't come to my house to buy plants. It was just, you know, some internet sales. And so the only reason they knew about this was because I'd given a board member one of my cards that had my phone number on it. It didn't have my address, it just had my phone number on it. And I had discussed my business with this person that didn't want me to do the lot. And there are over 200 businesses in my neighborhood. And I found out that there were 6 board members that had businesses in their homes. And even during litigation, my husband had, you know what a God wink is?
No.
This is a God wink, all right? My husband just decided I had this board member's internet site on my computer looking at it. It had her home address, it had her home phone number, it had her home fax. And so he said, well, maybe I'll just drive by there and see if anything's going on. So he drives by there, and there's an 18-wheeler delivering product to a board member's home. And this is in the litigation. This was in June of 06. And so they had sued me for things that I had completely stopped because they asked me to. They'd asked me to change my DBA, my assumed name, and I did months and months before the litigation.
Wait. They asked you to change your name?
They asked me to change take my home address off of my DBA.
Why? What business is it of theirs?
Well, they think that it's their business. They asked me to remove my home address from any internet sites that were business related, which I did.
Wow. They're kind of far-reaching, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here one day just looking at a board member's internet site with her home address, her home phone number, and I've been sued for things that I had already corrected.
Yeah, it's not good for you, but it's okay for her, right?
But apparently it is. Apparently there's a lot of things that they can do that they were forbidding me to do.
Oh, I know they do that all the time. Was this raised in the court case?
Oh, absolutely.
And what happened?
Well, when I was sued, when we filed the counterclaim. But they made all these accusations and claims that they never could back up. In fact, we took 9 depositions. And in depositions of the board president, he said there was no evidence of a business months before they sued me. That they sued me over the business because they didn't want it to come back.
Now, your business was just on the Internet.
Mm-hmm. It was on the Internet. And I also did a few landscaping jobs for local people,
mm-hmm.
but I bought plants and took them to their home and planted them. But that didn't have anything to do with those pots that accumulated in my yard were for a volunteer job that I was doing for my neighborhood.
And that you had been asked to do.
Yes, they asked me to do it. But I can see why people don't volunteer anymore.
Well, it's a CAI conspiracy, Robin.
It is.
Well, we said we would say that 6 times, so that's one time.
So, we're not allowed to mention CAI conspiracy.
We're not?
That's forbidden.
CAI conspiracy is not allowed to be mentioned? Can I say CAI conspiracy on the air?
You weren't sued.
I wasn't.
I was sued, and I was going to have a jury trial, and that was one of the things that could not be mentioned, was CAI conspiracy.
Who told you that? Wait a minute. The CAI told you that you could not say CAI conspiracy in your court, in your defense?
Roberts Markell, the lawyers for the insurance company,
yeah,
had motions in limine. And one of the things that was on there was that we could not, or no one could mention CAI conspiracy.
That is funny. All right, CAI conspiracy, CAI conspiracy. You know, we've said it a few times.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
I haven't been sued, right? It's a CIA conspiracy.
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet, but I know you work at it, so.
I work at being sued?
I've listened to your program before.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I have.
Well, there's something about this program that's, it's my opinion, it's your opinion. And we're based on the First Amendment, and this entire station exists just to further our rights, our First Amendment rights. And
okay, here's the document right here.
Oh.
Okay, any reference to CAI or any CAI conspiracy, that is in writing. And there are motions in limine, which they wanted to have the judge rule on them before things started, is pretty much says it all. They didn't want any reference to how me or my husband felt about the association, how the oppressive nature of associations. Okay, we weren't allowed to discuss that.
Oh, God.
There was to be no reference to mental anguish.
And the judge went along with this?
No, the judge didn't go along with this. The judge went along with very little of what they wanted. And that was, I mean, we had, they spent so much time and energy fighting discovery issues. It was beyond anything. They spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars fighting to keep their board's emails from falling into my hands. Literally. And it was, we spent more time, I think we must have had 4 or 5 motions to compel discovery.
Did you ever get them?
We've got enough of them for me to put together that the board was not what started this, that it was an outside influence, and that an outside influence continued through litigation, and that an outside influence was heavily involved in this. We got enough emails, you know, to show that. Apparently someone wanted me to know that. But board members, especially the president, said that this outside influence had absolutely nothing to do with it. Yet her name appears in invoices that Roberts Markell, the attorneys that represent the insurance company and the association, her name appears in there numerous times.
They represent the association and the insurance company?
And that's another issue that I really didn't understand. I've read about it, that, you know, how one person can defend and represent the insured, which is the association, and the insurer, which happens to be Travelers. It seems to me that's a conflict of interest.
I was going to say, it sounds like a huge conflict of interest there.
And, in fact, the...
Did anyone question that?
Me?
in court?
No, it was not questioned in court. But I'm questioning it now.
Because I attended, I know someone who went in pro se, and, again, you had the same attorney who was defending the association and management company against her, and she says, wait a minute, who is the attorney representing? And she raised the issue that it was a conflict of interest, and the judge said, I don't see it. I think that's a huge conflict of interest. She's paying twice.
You know what? To me, there's a good example in this litigation. The association's biggest downfall was when they submitted discovery requests. And there was their attorney, Michael Gaynor, did the discovery request in September of 06. And this was a few months after they had sued me in April of 06. And his discovery requests are just unbelievable. I mean, he has almost 300 admissions, which are silly, and document requests.
Like what? Have you got any? Can you share any of that with us?
I mean, well,
I love silly things because the whole thing is silly.
All right. My neighbor, Mr. Birdwell, was president of the board, and he has 32 admissions that range from admit that Mr. Birdwell is paying your attorney fees, admit that his wife is paying your attorney fees, admit that they've loaned you money, admit that the Birdwells have discussed or planned your litigation. There were 32 admissions just on that. And then he's got about 15 admissions that dwell on who owns this property and admit that you've lived in this property, admit that you've owned this property, admit that you... I mean, it just is like you scratch your head wondering, what is he doing? And then there's the thing about the plants. Admit you have annual plants that grow 3 feet tall. Admit that you have annual plants that have grown over 4 feet tall. And then he asked me to admit clover's a weed. And just on and on and on. There's numerous questions about my attorney. Admit that you pay your attorney over $150 an hour. Admit that you pay your attorney over $250 an hour. Admit you pay your attorney over $300 an hour. And on and on and on.
Sounds like a moron.
And it's it was beyond the pale. And the document request, I mean, he wanted every document, he wanted the detail of every single conversation I've had about the lawsuit with everybody since January of 2003.
Ah.
Well, the lawsuit wasn't filed until 2006. So I'm just
That you were supposed to be clairvoyant and realize that this was coming down, so you jot all these things down so you can respond to him?
It was, you know, detail every conversation you've ever had with anybody, you know, for the last 4 years. So my attorney told me not to read these until later because we filed, you know, an objection to these discoveries, and the judge ruled they had to redo their discovery. Okay? And so they never had our discovery, and we're taking depositions, and they don't have my discovery. And that's an unbelievable advantage, to be able to take your opponent's deposition before they get your discovery, because we caught them in a lot of misrepresentation, shall we say.
No, CAA.
And after we took four depositions, they asked to abate the proceedings. Nobody could take any more depositions. Nobody could do anything until they received our discovery. But they had yet to refile their discovery. They didn't refile their discovery until March of 2008. And that's 3 months before the trial was to start. So they went all this time without refiling their discovery. And all our case did was get better every day. Every time we went to court, it was mind-boggling. But when we finally received their discovery, and this is what I want to talk about, is the conflict of interest. All right, and I'm going to read you the first few discovery requests that were issued by Roberts Markell, so you can see where their mind was. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number one was to produce all police reports that pertain to defendant, counter plaintiff, and or the subject property from 2003 to the present. And what that had to do with was somebody came on our property in December of 2007 and opened a gas valve.
Huh?
And
wait a minute, somebody opened the gas valve?
Somebody came and opened a gas valve at the front of my house. And
do you ever find out who?
Not exactly, no. What happened was, we called the sheriff, our contract sheriff, and I thought that I had given them enough information to where, you know, they would investigate. And I didn't find out until June of 2008, that's a year and a half later, that they never investigated it. And I went and filed a complaint with Internal Affairs at the Sheriff's Department. We have a contract sheriff and who never investigated, something serious that happened, and we had evidence that it was forced open. The center point gas person came out and said it was forced open, and you could see where somebody had used a vice grip to turn it because it had been shut off for 15 years.
So this is criminal. I mean, they're trying to blow
it. It is criminal.
Up, and they never found out who.
But I didn't know. But I didn't know that because Roberts Markell had requested the police reports. And I was told that they weren't going to give them the police reports because it was an ongoing investigation. But they gave them the police report. They gave them everything that I wrote out about this incident. And so when I discovered that, I went to Internal Affairs because it was never investigated. I was told it was going to be given to an investigator, and someone came to my house claiming to be an investigator, and I gave them some evidence.
And it wasn't investigated? This was not a real
Apparently not. I don't know what it was. I still don't
Good
know
gosh.
What was going on. But it was an election year. 2008 was an election year, and it affected our trial because our judge had an election. The sheriff had an election. Everybody had an election, and it really affected a lot of things in our trial, and it just put everything sort of on hold.
Wow, we're talking to Robin Clarlent, who had a two-way ticket to hell and back, and she's back. And good heavens, they tried to blow up your house. They tried to blow you up. They posed as investigators investigating this alleged criminal activity.
That was their first request. Now, their second request, when they finally get around to requesting documents, is to produce all correspondence and other documents that evidence any type of payment, monetary or otherwise, to defendants pertaining to disputes with any homeowners association.
Huh?
And then, huh? And then the next one is produce all correspondence or other documents drafted by the defendants on behalf of other persons that relate to disputes with any homeowners association. That's their third request. Okay, now, I don't think they're doing this on behalf of my homeowners association because I'm sure they could care less. Now they're working for the insurance company because I turned into a lobbyist for homeowners' rights. They woke me up. I never knew there were homeowner issues. I've lived in this house 25 years and never occurred to me that homeowners do not have a voice. It never occurred to me in a million years. But I found out we have no voice. There's nobody that represents homeowners.
It's a CAI conspiracy, Robin.
It is.
It's a CAI because they always claim to speak for the homeowners. Mm-hmm. We're here.
And request number four from Roberts Markell concerning litigation over a front yard is produce all correspondence or other documents to defendants evidencing requests for assistance in disputes with any homeowners association. That's request number four in litigation concerning my front yard. Request number five, produce all correspondence or other documents between defendants and David Kahn, that's my attorney, that relate to disputes with homeowner associations outside of this litigation. Wait a minute.
What?
What is going on here?
And this is costing everybody good money, huh?
It is costing everybody good money. All right. Request number six. Produce a copy of all documents, including personal calendars, that relate to any speaking engagement of defendants pertaining to homeowners associations.
Oh, God.
Our very first hearing that we went to, the attorney that represents the association, Ms. Johnson, Mr. Gaynor's assistant, said, Your Honor, this is just over a few blades of grass. Those were her exact words. All right, but this thing turned into a hell of a lot more than a few blades of grass.
So what was the point she was trying to make?
The attorney that said this is over a few blades of grass?
Right, and she works for the opposition?
Uh-huh. That's what she said. This was, Your Honor, this is just over a few blades of grass.
And so give us an axe or a cannon, and we'll just take care of it and get out of our way, right?
Yep.
This is, oh.
It's sick. It really is sick that this attorney is representing the insurance company first and foremost. They have repeat business. They have blended rates, which is another thing we're not allowed to mention.
What's a blended rate?
Well, a blended rate is in their case is that I guess all work is $200 an hour. Now, I'm sure that Jeff Roberts of Roberts Markel makes more than $200 an hour.
So it's the association who pays the $200?
It's called the insurance company, Travelers Insurance, pays because they have repeat business, and that's their big business, and they charge a blended rate, which is if you do work at Roberts Markel, the rate is $200 when you're doing it for the insurance company, even though there are some attorneys there that make $350 an hour, and there are some there that probably make less than $200 an hour. They charge what they call a blended rate. Now, that's another thing that was in their motions, was that there could be no mention of blended rate. There could be no mention that Roberts Markel specialize in defending homeowners associations.
You weren't allowed to say that.
That was one of the things that was forbidden. Also, they didn't want any mention of what they call the alleged gas leak. All right, that would incite a riot. So that was one of their motions in limine.
What, that was to incite a riot? Is that what they said?
That's not their exact words.
We don't want you to mention that we tried to kill you, because that might incite a riot in the courtroom, and we just really cannot have that. Oh, come on. Come on, guys. Boy, they like being stupid, don't they?
There were a lot of things they were scared of. They didn't want any reference to the discovery disputes. So we couldn't mention that my legal bills and theirs escalated to the point of insanity, because we had to keep going in to get discovery. We have emails from board members that say they deleted emails, or please delete this when you receive it. We have board members in their deposition that admitted they deleted it. They don't have it. But there could be no mention of that.
Sounds like they didn't want to mention a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm. There were a whole lot of things. All right. Here's any reference to an alleged gas leak at the Lent property. That was out.
And did you mention it?
We never had a trial.
You never had a trial, that's right.
It was over before I got to tell my story.
I think they must have been afraid of it.
They didn't want any reference. This is really interesting. It says any reference to any alleged attempt to foreclose upon the Lentz property by the association or to assess statutory fines against the Lentz at up to $200 per day from the date of violation.
I want to get on my soapbox here, Robin. Fines should be banned. It's been found to be unconstitutional in two states. Associations should not have the power to ban. And anybody listening out there, don't allow them to the power
to fine. Absolutely. Yeah. And that was in their original petition. They wanted $200 a day. They wanted the judge to file a lien and foreclose on our home. I mean, that was for a few blades
of grass.
But they wanted $200 a day for each alleged violation.
Each blade of grass.
They're alleging several violations. And they served two lawsuits, one to me and one to my husband. So technically that would be $400 a day for I don't know how many violations, and I don't know when it started or when it would end. I mean, we're looking at a catastrophic amount of money.
They're protecting your property values, you see. It's a CIA conspiracy to protect your property values. You see how well they're doing it?
They're not protecting our property values.
I know that. You know that.
This did not help our property values.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
And, I mean, it just... It was just constant. It was constant, never-ending, what is going on.
I have heard from other people who are also involved in litigation that the realtors are begging boards to drop these lawsuits because you have to, in a lot of states, they have to be disclosed. And so if you're buying a house
and you look at a house that you kind of like, and you get the disclosure package, and you find out that, hey, they're embroiled in litigation up to their chinny-chin-chins, guess what? Prospective buyers are going to have to come in and pay that, whether it's actually cover the costs of litigation or cover increased insurance. Somebody will say, oh, don't worry about it. The insurance companies will cover it. But your premiums go up, and you have a good example for that. So associations don't protect property values. In fact, no, if anything, they devalue property.
This is an expense that's going to stay with the association probably forever. When we started this litigation, before the litigation was filed, I believe our D&O insurance was $4,000 a year. Then it went, I believe, to six. Then it went to 12. Then it went to 13, and it's now at 24. And I don't know what. And I don't know what the deductible is, but it's off the charts.
And so your fellow homeowners are going to be paying that.
That's right.
And whatever
their deductible is, I don't know what their deductible is. I know that it's quite a bit higher. Is all I know. But I don't know the exact number.
So it's gone. The premium has gone up, and the deductible has gone up.
Right.
Over a few blades of grass.
Oh yeah.
And they're protecting property values. And they're protecting your property values.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys. When are you going to wake up out there? America, wake up. You're being taken to the cleaners. Stop buying into this notion. This is ridiculous. So it's over?
Well, it's over, except that I need to discuss some things that happened with our board of directors and their attorneys that advised them not to discuss it with me. Now, I have to admit, if I were their attorneys, I don't think I'd want them discussing this lawsuit any further, because they did a lot of things they shouldn't have done, and those are some of the things that, you know, need to be discussed. And as long as Michael Gaynor still is the attorney representing an association that I live in, I will fight tooth and nail to see that that doesn't happen.
So what can you tell us what you want to talk to the board about, or is this confidential?
Well, there's some of the things. For instance, I went to the board before the lawsuit was filed to tell them about a foreclosure proceeding that happened against someone whose son had recently been murdered, and then their home burned down.
And this was in your association?
This was in our association. They rebuilt their home and changed mortgage companies. And their new mortgage company did not pay their assessment like their old one did. And Michael Gaynor started foreclosure proceedings against this family. And when they called him, the attorney, and explained what had happened with the assessment and that they would take care of it immediately, he said, no problem. I understand. And the next day, they were served a foreclosure filing. After he told them that he would take care of it, that he understood.
Okay.
He sued them the next day. And they asked to make payments, and he said, you know, this is how, I don't remember the exact amount, it was around $1,500 to $2,000, that they had to pay, or their home, their brand new, newly built home was going to be foreclosed against. And when I found out about this, I was pretty upset. But instead of going to the homeowner and asking the homeowner, is this true, is this what happened, they took Michael Gaynor's version of the story, is that he let them make payments, which was not true, and, you know, that he didn't actually foreclose on the home. It was just the threat of foreclosure, except you have to pay my attorney fees. Once I threaten to foreclose on your house, you now owe me all these attorney fees.
Right.
And in order to keep me from foreclosing, you have to pay this extortion. And so I was pretty upset about it, but nobody went and talked to this family, not one person on the board. They took Michael Gaynor at his word, and believed that these people made payments and that he was a good guy. And even during my litigation, when I found out that Michael Gaynor had told the board that he had an agreement with my first attorney, who was a neighbor that lived in our subdivision, that was patently false. It never happened. And they made a big deal about me changing attorneys. That was one of their big issues. Well, every time we had an agreement, she would change attorneys. And I had four attorneys that were trying, working hour after hour, trying to come to a conclusion of this mess. And during one of our meetings that I had with attorney number two and their attorney, Michael Gaynor, and their board president, it came up that there was a 2.5-page complaint letter from one of my neighbors that was willing to testify. And I agreed to do everything they asked, even though it wasn't in the deed restrictions. I'll do everything you ask, and you're going to give me a copy of that 2.5-page complaint letter, and you can even redact the name. But there wasn't a 2.5-page complaint letter. I boxed them into a corner and didn't even know it. And that's what happened. They made up a story about a 2.5-page complaint letter, and I was willing to sign and do everything they wanted before the litigation, months before the litigation, in return for this 2.5-page complaint letter, which didn't exist. So I boxed them right into a corner because they couldn't give me this letter because it didn't exist. And so everything that started was premised on lies. And I even have a memo from Michael Gaynor to the board president saying that she's putting everything on hold until she gets these documents. And the next day, the very next day, they filed, or the president signed the lawsuit. He received a memo from Michael Gaynor on the 18th saying that the Lentz had put this on hold till they received these documents. And on the 19th, the president signed off on this litigation, which they didn't file until April of 06. So this whole thing was because I backed them into a corner over a document they said they had. I mean, we have a neighbor willing to testify who wrote a 2.5-page complaint letter. It didn't exist. Never, for 4 years of litigation, I have not seen that letter.
And you have a neighbor who's willing to admit that they wrote it?
None of my neighbors wrote it. If it was written, it was written by the person that we discussed earlier that started this. If it existed, but I've never seen it.
Wow.
And so, I mean, they're all too happy to give me complaint letters. They're proud of their complaint letters, both of them. They had two complaint letters, and I had 30 letters from residents that liked my yard. Plus the garden club. The garden club liked my yard. I had 4 or 5 members of the garden club that were going to testify on my yard's behalf.
So have you done anything to your yard? Have you kept it the way it was?
My yard has been virtually the same throughout this litigation. The only thing different was that we had a couple pine trees die, mm-hmm. and had those removed. And as soon as we had the dead pine trees removed, these big pine trees that have been here before the house was built. As soon as that happened, the board voted that my yard was acceptable.
Oh.
Claiming that I had my yard cleaned up.
Ah.
And they had pictures of the truck that hauled off the pine trees.
The dead ones.
Saying that she got rid of all this debris in her yard.
Ah. Cool.
And, you know, another thing that happened that was just sent me over the wall was during the middle of litigation, there was production of pictures of the Lent backyard, pictures labeled Lent backyard, taken in 2003 or 4, that were not my backyard. They were someone else's backyard. In fact, I know who took the pictures.
You're kidding.
No, it was a backyard that was really trashed, and I am actually friends with the person that took those pictures. And this was a time when it was rumored the board wanted to settle, but the insurance company didn't. And it is my contention and my feeling, and I have no proof of this, but Michael Gaynor was really the only person that had access to those pictures.
So they took pictures of somebody else's yard, claimed it was your yard.
Mm-hmm. Right. And gave them and submitted them in discovery. And the insurance company had no way of knowing that those pictures weren't my backyard. And to help persuade them to carry on this litigation.
The wild, wild west, huh? Except that I'm sure it happens across the country. This is absurd. This is just absolutely absurd.
It was like almost weekly there was something that was just mind-boggling. And those pictures were taken out of a file from a previous lawsuit, one that we can't talk about. I don't think we're allowed to talk about it. Let's see here.
This is a previous with somebody else or with you? Or?
Yes, this was a lawsuit. This is a lawsuit with another family, with another homeowner in our association.
So the pictures were of their yard.
Mm-hmm.
And they hijacked it out of that file and put it in your file.
It those pictures leaped right out of that file into my backyard. All right. I know Jeff Roberts knew that happened because during my deposition, Mr. Roberts asked me about my backyard in detail. And when I told him that I had a three-car garage in my backyard in an area the size of a tennis court or a basketball court, that you could circle around and drive through. And I also had a swimming pool. And he asked me, how long have you had that pool?
It's not in the picture that was...
I knew that he had this mental picture of someone else's backyard, that he really wanted to be my backyard. But it just wasn't so. I mean, I could see the little light bulb going off and going,
oh,
that can't be, you know. And he's quizzing me about my backyard and finds out that those pictures weren't my backyard. And it was really interesting watching his face. He's not a real good poker player. And
is it any wonder we have lost total trust in the court system?
It is sad. It is so sad that they can just, you know, they can put into evidence whatever they want. They took things off the Internet, pictures that I had taken and put on a website called Dave's Garden. They took these pictures that were taken in March of 2005, and all the pictures are all copyrighted. They have a little copyright mark in the bottom or in the top, and they have the date the picture was submitted,
mm-hmm.
which means that it would have to have been taken by that date. Well, these pictures were all submitted in early February or March of 2005, more than a year before the lawsuit was filed. And this was their hardcore evidence that I was using my yard to display plants and to sell plants. But they removed the dates. They didn't want the court to know that these pictures were taken a year before the lawsuit was filed.
How could they remove the dates?
Well, the date, you make a copy of the picture and you white out the date.
You white out the date, huh?
You do something so the date doesn't appear, but I mean, every copy I've ever made of any picture has the date it was submitted. And these pictures were all submitted a year before the lawsuit was filed. They also claimed that I used my home address on this Internet site, but there was no evidence. They did not produce one shred of evidence that shows my home address because it was another address. It was the same street, but it was another address. And you know, giving them a little bit of credit, maybe it just didn't register. They just saw my street and assumed that was my street number, but it wasn't.
So they didn't dot the I's and cross their T's. They just jumped to conclusions.
They just, you know, they're telling the court that I used my home address. And they submit these records, but that wasn't my home address, and these pictures had been altered with the dates removed. It was just constant, what are they going to do next? How desperate can these people be that to prove that they're right, that have to alter and submit false evidence?
I think that's funny. I'm sorry. I think that's really hysterical that they went and got somebody else's pictures and plopped them in your file.
They just leaped right out of one file into another. Maybe our files were next to each other.
I don't know. Blades
and they just accidentally fell in there.
We're kind of running a little short of time. We've only got a couple of minutes left, okay. but I just wanted to talk about the fact that it is over.
Yes, it is over. We are done with this legal action. And I'm hoping my community will, you know, see what's happened and hope, you know, it doesn't happen again.
Was the community aware of what was going on while it was going on? Because quite often they try to isolate you. They don't want anyone to know.
Well, I sent out newsletters and question and answers, and I made it as public as I could. That was one of the things they objected to vehemently, was me going to the media. There's tons of questions and silliness over how I portrayed this to the media. They were very upset over that.
Well, they usually point the fingers at the homeowner and they say, you see, that's the mm-hmm. problem. They're devaluing property values by making all this public. They never tell you that we acted like a bunch of horses behinds. And we went after someone for no valid reason whatsoever. We wasted a ton of your money. We made life miserable for everyone concerned, you know, but it's not their fault, you see. It's your fault because
they said I was defiant.
It's like you're a kindergartner, right?
Well,
defiant little kindergartner, you're just not.
They did reduce me to their level. I admit that when you're dealing with bullies, you just have to fight back and bully too.
Oh, you do. You do. You out-bully the bully. That's the only way you're going to win.
Yeah. So in that respect, I would say that if they're in kindergarten, I was in eighth or ninth grade. But it was. You have to make this public. You have to.
I agree.
Have people know what's going on.
Yeah. You do. You cannot fight this under cover of darkness. I mean, every tyrant, every nasty guy out there, the first thing they'll say is, you got to keep it quiet. It's our secret. You don't tell anyone.
And then when you do come out, they completely deny everything.
Yeah.
They go straight into denial.
Yeah.
Straight up the river, the Nile.
I'm an Egyptian, right?
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. They, you know, and they're still in denial. That's hopefully an issue that you know, I'm going to try to discuss with them and show them the documents, but I don't know. I'll let you know after the January homeowners meeting whether they're going to still be in denial.
Well, good luck. Keep in touch. Keep us posted. Thanks for taking the time to join us today, Robin. Thank you for having me. I hope you can put it all behind you and move forward. And now that you know what this is really all about, just help us spread the word and keep it going.
That's my mission. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs. Life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.